And if you have your Bibles this morning, if you take them out and turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 8. If you don't have your Bibles this morning, that's totally okay. In your program, your bulletin that you got this morning, there's an outline that will kind of help you follow along with the message a little better. And in there is the verses that we're going to read from now. We're reading from an Old Testament book entitled Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 8 this morning, and I'm so thankful that you've come today. It's always a great day to come to God's house. I know sometimes throughout the week, sometimes we get beat up a little bit, but it's good to forget about all that, come to God's house, fellowship with one another, and hear the word of God preached. And I hope your heart's ready, as I'm very excited about what God has for us this morning. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you're not there, just act like you're there and nobody will ever know. Guests, once again, so glad that you're here. We're going to begin reading in verse number 2 and read just a few verses down to verse number 10 of Deuteronomy chapter number 8. The Bible says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Verse number 4. "Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither give thy foot swell these 40 years." They wore the same clothes for 40 years. Some of you ladies in here are like, I can't wear the same clothes for 4 years, much less 40. I mean, 40 years, that's quite a long time. Verse number 5. "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee." Very interesting verse, very powerful verse. "Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass." Verse number 10, and then we'll be finished for the scripture reading portion of the service this morning. "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we stop this morning. Lord, to remember your goodness to us. Lord, we've sung the songs. Lord, we've heard the music. Lord, we've had people greet us. We've shaken hands with one another. But Lord, I pray that you prepare our hearts, Lord, for the message to come. Lord, I don't know what these folks are dealing with in this room. Lord, I don't know the type of week they've had, but I do know this. I do know your word is powerful, and I do know that you love us. And God, I just ask you that you would show us whatever it is you want us to learn today. Lord, thank you for bringing us to this place. Grow us. Help us to be better Christians and better people because of our time we spend this morning in your word. I ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. my mom did arrive in Georgia yesterday, in Atlanta, Georgia, yesterday afternoon, and then they did drive up to South Carolina and did make it there safe and sound. So they are in church this morning in Walterboro, South Carolina. Has anybody in here ever heard of Walterboro, South Carolina? Okay, I think there's three of us in here. But Walterboro, South Carolina, so they are there, they are doing well, and they are in church this morning at Wilts Creek Baptist Church, a good old country preacher. He's here many years ago, but he's just a great guy. So they are in church this morning, and they do send their greetings, and they did make it there safe and sound. When I was in college a few years ago, there were some classes that I liked. Just like many of you, maybe you were in high school, and maybe you are in high school, maybe you're in middle school right now, maybe you went to college a little bit. But just like anybody, there were some classes I liked, and it seemed that there were a few more classes that I didn't like. And there was one class in particular that I could look back on, and I really, it wasn't my favorite, let's just say, and that would be Greek. Now, we had to learn Greek, and the type of Greek we had to learn isn't even a spoken language today. So I had to take two semesters of it, and Greek 1 was okay. I forced myself to do it. Can't say I have a lot of those notes still remaining. Didn't really write many of them down, but Greek 1, I made it through okay. And then over the Christmas break, the winter break, I remember gearing up for Greek 2. Greek 2 was a monster. I remember one class, the instructor said, I want you guys to know today what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the dump truck, and I'm going to back it up right next to you, and I'm just going to dump it all on you. I found out that day when an instructor says that, that's not a good thing, okay? And I remember, honestly, that day sticks out in my mind, and I remember thinking, how am I ever going to pass this class? What am I going to do? So I said, I'm going to do my homework. So I did some homework, which is usually a good thing to do to pass a class. And I did my homework. And then we got our mid-semester grades. That was an awakening. And I remember looking at my mailbox, and you went to your mailbox, that's how you got your grades then. I remember opening up, and I think I got two or three B's and two or three A's, and I think I might have got one C. And then I looked, and I saw Greek. I was like, wow, it was a D minus. Thinking, you know, if you're reading your report card, you're like, A good, B good, A, B, C, okay. D minus, I'm thinking, what in the world's going on? I remember in that post office, I made a little decision. I said, you know what, I'm going to get into it, I'm going to start doing some work. And thankfully, I did pass the class with a little better grade, but thankfully, I made it through, and I'm here today, amen. But I remember at that point in my life, as far as academically, it was kind of a low point in my life academic-wise, because I understood that, hey, I had really brought this upon myself. I hadn't really exerted myself in the subject like I should have, and I started picking it up a little bit, and thankfully, I was able to get a better grade in the class. But that low point brought me it made me understand that there's a place where I need to go. Some of you, when you were younger, some of you are a child in here maybe, and we've all gotten disciplined by our parents when we were younger. Discipline is never something that we enjoy doing. I can remember, we'll just say times, I won't say many times, but I can remember times where my mom took out the old wooden spoon, okay? We didn't do belts, we didn't do paddles, we didn't do bare hand, we did wooden spoons in our house, okay? So mom busted out the old wooden spoon. And it's funny, I don't really have a lot of memories of my dad taking care of me when it comes to discipline spankings, but I sure remember my mom doing it a lot. And I remember my mom saying, all right, you're getting, there's different times I remember saying, you're getting four swats. And I'm like, mom, she was like, five. I'm like, well, mom, you know, six. I was like, okay, fine, I'll just get down. You know, so you kneel down on the bed, you know, and I'm closing my eyes, you know, and I'm all flexing up and everything, you know, I'm trying to make this thing good, not as bad as it would be. So, I mean, she's going at me, you know, and then afterwards she'd always say, you know, I want you to know that I did this because I loved you. And I'm thinking, okay, I've heard that so many times. Mom, if you really love me, we'd go be getting some ice cream right now. You know, you take me to Toys R Us, I'm getting a toy, you know. You're getting me a new bike. I want some video games, you know what I mean? But my mom said, the reason I did this is because I loved you. And at that point, if you had told me that my mom loves me, she did that because she loved me, I would have said, no, she's lying. But as I'm a little older, and I look back, I understand that the reason why she did that is because she was trying to get me to a point of maturity. And I was at that low point because my mom wanted me to go up and have some maturity. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we need to understand something. The children of Israel are getting a spanking right now. This is a 40-year spanking. They're in their wilderness for 40 years and they're wondering. Now, here's the thing about it.
The reason why it's happening is because God wants them to do something, and God can't use them to do what He wants them to do until they're in that place. Sometimes in our life, we're at a low point. Sometimes in our life, our circumstances are not what we want them to be. Sometimes in our life, we've had some events come in our life that they're not fair. Sometimes there are some things that maybe we get a text message or a phone call or an email, and your first question is why? But oftentimes, God brings us low so God can bring us high. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, there are three phases that show the goodness of God in the midst of this trial. Terrible situation, yes, but yet the goodness of God is still shown through. And I want you to understand that no matter what you're in right now, that the goodness of God is still trying to show forth the bright light and say, look, there's something I have for you. And I want us to find out what those phases are. I want us to see the first phase, number one. I want us to understand their present circumstance. Their present circumstance. Verse number 2 of Deuteronomy 8, the Bible says this, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, and know what was in thine heart. These people weren't exactly on the beaches of Kauai drinking some lemonade and having a good time. They're in the desert for 40 years. If you were to look at where that is right now geographically and kind of check out the climate a little bit, to this day, it rains less than an inch a year in that region. They were in this place for 40 years. There was no getaways. There was no vacations. It was them, their family, and a million other people for 40 years. I don't know what torture is, but that's got to be somewhat close to it. They're in a wilderness. They're in a desert. There's not a lot of water. They can't get away. They can't take that vacation. They can't say, all right, I'm just going to take a weekend and just, phew. They couldn't do that. They were there for 40 years. The Bible says their clothes didn't wear out. Ladies, there wasn't any shopping trips to the mall. I mean, there was nothing. There wasn't any trips to Jamba Juice to try to cool up. 40 years in this wilderness. They were living a life that we could say was less than ideal. They didn't have DirecTV. They weren't watching the NBA playoffs. They weren't playing their Xbox 360 online. They weren't doing any of that. Their present circumstance was rough. But I want us to take a minute, and I want us to find out why was their circumstance the way it was. I see letter A, it was a self-made circumstance. It was a self-made circumstance. If I want to understand Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'm going to have to hit the rewind button in the DVD player, and I'm going to have to go back all the way to Numbers chapter 12, and I'm going to have to find out what brought them to this point. Let's look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy, I believe, or Numbers chapter 12. I think I have verse number 4, chapter 14 in your outline. Let's pick up Numbers 14. And your children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. What if God told you that? Your children are going to be in the desert for 40 years until your carcasses be wasted away. Thanks, God. But let's find out why. The Bible says, after the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities. Even 40 years ye shall know the breach of the promise. I, the Lord, said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In the wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Back in the book of Numbers, they were at a place called Kadesh Barnea. And they were at a point where God wanted them to go forward. They were at a point like a lot of us are in our lives, where we know God wants us to take the next step of, I'm going to say that big C word, you ready? That next step of commitment. And they didn't really want to do it. And God said, look, I want you to go to this place. You don't understand it. You don't know how it's going to work. But just trust me on it, and there's going to be blessings around the corner. They're at that place, and they decided not to go. I want us to know something, that every time we choose to not go forward for God, we are always choosing to go backward. Every time we do not choose to go forward for God, we are always choosing to go backward. In our spiritual lives, there's no in-between ground. We're either moving forward, we're moving backwards. We're getting closer to God or we're going further away from God. At Kadesh Barnea, Moses, the great leader of Israel, the Bible says there was no leader like him. This great leader, Moses, said, I'm going to take 12 spies, one from each tribe of Israel, and they're going to go and spy out the land. No, they were not spying it out to decide whether they should go in or not. That was already decided. But they wanted to know how would they attack the land. Many of us know the story, some of us don't. The spies come back, and 10 say, it's too bad, it's too big, we can't do it. And they didn't go forward, and because of that, it cost them 40 years. If you were to ask the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, how did you like those 40 years? They wouldn't have told you that they liked it. If you would have asked those children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, what do you think you guys should have done back in Numbers, back when you were at Kadesh Barnea? What should you guys have done? I think they would have said, we should have moved forward. But because they decided that they were not going to move forward to that place, God said, okay, fine, I'm going to get your attention. I'm going to put you in this wilderness for 40 years. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times when God calls us as Christians to suffer for no reason at all. There are times when God chooses, God allows trials in our life to take us to a point where we can be more in His image. But oftentimes, I think in our lives, we suffer because of our own decisions. Right. We suffer because of things we do. Our way makes sense. Our way we can figure out. Our way we can look at the road map. Our way is easier. God's way doesn't make sense. God's way we can't figure out. God's way, there's no roadmap. God's way is going to be hard. So you know what we do? We go our way. Right now, some of us are in the midst of a huge trial. Because a few days ago, a few months ago, a few years ago, guess what? We did it our way. They're in the midst of a self-made circumstance that they did. I wonder right now, are you in a circumstance that's something that you made and you put on yourself? It was a self-made circumstance, and letter B, it was 40 years in the wilderness, and we talked about that briefly. I found that man always has a way of wandering away from God, and God always has a way of getting man's attention. God always has a way of getting man's attention, and man always has a way of wandering away from God. It seems so often in our lives we have to hit rock bottom before we'll look to God. It seems so often in our lives we have to go to places of great tragedy before we cry out to God and say, God, where are you at? It seems times in our lives when we don't have anything is when we look to Him. The Bible talks about in Luke chapter 15 about a young man that did things his way. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks from that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Luke chapter 15, a son takes the inheritance of his father before his father has passed away and says, Dad, I'm going to do it my way. He goes to a place. He goes to a faraway country. He spends his money, spends his inheritance on riotous living. And there that life he thought was so easy brought him to a pig pen where he was literally eating the pig's food. And then in Luke 15, it snapped. Maybe I can go home to Dad. Maybe I can go home and maybe my dad will take care of me. Maybe I can go back to where I should have been all along. In our lives, we have something that it seems like we always think about, and that is that the grass is greener on the other side. If I had a better job, a better house, if I had a better husband, a better wife, if I had better kids, if I had better parents, if I just had that, it would be better. But may I submit to you today, the grass is not greener on the other side, but the grass is greener where you water it. Think about that for a second, okay? The grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. And where we invest in, and where we put time into, and what we invest in, that is going to bring forth some fruit. And we can live our entire lives saying, I wish I had this, I wish I had that, I wish things would go different. We need to understand that the grass is greener where we water it. And we need to understand that though the children of Israel, they were in this place for 40 years, this was a season and God was going to bring them out of it. We often make our own choices, then we blame God for the results. You read in the children of Israel in their lifetime, and they would often complain and whine to God. But every time they would get away from God, they would often get away from God, God would say, hey, look, you need to come back. And oftentimes they would come back, sometimes they wouldn't. But in our lives, we often make decisions and blame God for the results. We know the principles of Scripture are this, but that's hard. So we do our situation, our things. It brings us to a point that we say, God, it's your fault. Are you getting the picture here? These people are in the desert, they're in the wilderness because it's something they brought on themselves. But we have to understand something, that yes, it was a bad present circumstance. Second of all, the problem had some benefits. There were some benefits that were going to come out of this problem. The Bible says in verse number 3, Deuteronomy chapter 8, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. They learned some things in this time. They learned, letter A, that they needed to return to God's word. It caused them to return to God's word. God said, the reason why I put you where you are is to cause you to return to me. The Bible says in verse 3 that he wanted to teach them to rely on the word of God, and not necessarily just the manna, not necessarily the food, but totally rely on the word of God. God told these people, he brought them to this point so they wouldn't understand they don't need bread, but they need the word of God. The Bible says in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we need to realize as a church, as an individual, as people, that though the Bible is ridiculed, though the Bible is torn apart, though the Bible people are throwing out and saying it's a book of myths and a book of fables, we need to realize that God's word will stand. Amen. We need to realize that the Bible talks about in Hebrews that God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This Bible can change your life. And oftentimes when a sword cuts somebody, it's not always going to be a pleasant experience. But I'll tell you this, when we take the Word of God, and we allow the Word of God to soak into our lives, and we live the Word of God out, that is when God brings His blessing. Amen. These people had wandered from the Word of God. As a church, at Calvary Baptist Church, we want to place a priority on the Word of God. You know, a lot of churches have a lot of music, and that's fine. Like, I'm all about music. I love music. A lot of churches, they have a lot of fellowships, and sometimes we have fellowships, and that's great. And I love fellowshipping with other Christians. A lot of churches have a lot of programs, and that's great. That's awesome. But at our church, this is what we've chosen to do, and I'm going to tell you why. We've chosen to center everything around the Word of God, okay? So you came in here today, and I think we had some preliminary things. We did that for about 15, 17, 18 minutes, okay? And then we tried to make the Bible the center of the entire service. Amen. Why do we want to make the Bible the center of the service? Because the Bible brings permanent life change. Okay? The Scriptures bring life change. And I think sometimes in our lives, we get to a point where we wander away from the Scriptures, and God says, hey, let's come back to the Scriptures. And oftentimes we have to respond in a right way. I think I put a little box in your outline there. And talk about how we can make a priority of the Word of God in our lives. I put in there, number one, we can attend preaching services regularly. It's hard to get the Word of God if you're not in church. Let me encourage you, attend these preaching services regularly. Sunday morning, Sunday night, we even have Wednesday night service. Some of you guys say, church 3 times a week, are you kidding? We have it, because we want to place a priority on the Word of God. Some of you, you guys come to church every Sunday morning, and that's great, but maybe God might want you to get a little bit more of the Word in. And it's important that we attend preaching services regularly. Number two, connect with an adult connection class or a weekly discipleship class. We have discipleship here that meets every Wednesday night. And in fact, we had a couple ladies just graduate from it a couple weeks ago. And what's going to happen is somebody will just sit down with you on a Wednesday night for 40 minutes or so and just teach you some basic things from the Scriptures. Some of you, and sometimes we'll read, it's like the Bible, it's like, I don't understand what in the world God's trying to tell me. How do I read this? Discipleship is for you. Discipleship is a time where somebody can, you can sit down with somebody and they can teach you what the Word of God says, just basic things. And that's Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. Also, the connection classes meet at 9:45. A chance for you to connect with other adults, a chance for you to grab a cup of coffee, amen and amen, and a chance to hear the Word of God. And if you're not in a connection class, let me encourage you, get in a connection class. I know the alarm clock got to set a little bit earlier, but it's at 9:45. I encourage everybody to come. We got it for single adults, for couples, for ladies, all kinds of adult classes. I just encourage you to get in that. And then number three, I wrote down the box, have a daily quiet time with you and the Lord. Have a daily quiet time with you and the Lord. There needs to be a time in our lives every day where we just get alone with God's Word, and we need to get alone with God. Sometimes there's very helpful devotional booklets out there where you can pick up a devotional booklet and it can have one for each day of the week. And I can recommend some great devotionals if I'm out in the lobby. I'll be there afterwards. I can recommend some of those to you. But I'm just saying we need to do something where we get in the Word of God every day and we allow the Word of God to get in us. And while they were in this 40 years, God said, look, I brought you to this point so you would learn to rely on God's Word during the trial you're in. Have you learned yet that you need to rely on God's Word? If you haven't, it may not end anytime soon. Have you learned that it's time to get back to the Word of God where the life change occurs? It caused them to get back to God's Word, but let it be, it caused them to rely on God. It caused them to rely on God. The Bible says in verse number 3, it said, He humbled thee. I don't like getting humbled. I don't like when some things come in my life that humbles me. But the Bible says here that He humbled thee. He made them get to a point where they understood, God, you have to do it and we can't. God, it has to be of you. God, it can't be of me. God, it has to be of you. God, I can't do it. It got these people away from their pride, away from their self-righteousness, and caused them to look to God and trust God. The Bible says about pride, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Pride keeps us from God. It keeps us from moving forward. And sometimes in our pride, we may know that we're wrong, but it's just our pride saying, no, this is going to work out. There was a story about a minister, a Boy Scout, and a computer expert. They were the only passengers on a small jet airplane headed to the East Coast. The pilot came back to the cabin and said the plane was going down soon. And there was only 3 parachutes for the 4 of them. The pilot immediately added, I should have one of the parachutes because I have a wife and 3 small children. So he took a parachute and jumped. The computer whiz said, I should have one of those parachutes because I am the smartest man in the world and everybody needs me. So he took one and jumped. The minister turned to the Boy Scout and said with a smile, you are young and I've lived a rich life. So you take the remaining parachute, and I'll go down with the plane. The Boy Scout popped back at him and said, relax, Reverend. The smartest man in the world just picked up my backpack and jumped out the airplane. And sometimes, when we think we know everything, and we think we have it all together, is the time when really we find out, I don't. Sometimes we have to get to a place where we understand that I don't know everything. I don't have everything figured out. I need to get back to God, and we'll never get to God with our pride. I'm going to use the illustration. Brother Shepherd, can you stand up for me? Brother Shepherd, I want you to stand on this chair. This chair is going to represent pride. Is there any other volunteers out here? Is there anybody that's brave, a brave volunteer? Brother Mark, come on up here. Brother Mark is going to be spiritual. Brother Mark is going to represent God. Amen. Amen. Brother Mark, come right over here.
Amen.
Okay, you can represent God, it's okay. So you come stand right here. Brother Shepherd's gonna represent all of us. Me, you, everybody here, everybody in this entire campus, children, the whole thing. He's gonna represent God. We wanna get to God because we need God's help. Some of us right now are in the trial and we know we need to get to God. Now, Brother Shepherd, can you get to Brother Mark without getting off that chair? No. There's no way you can do it. I mean, you can try and we're going to laugh, but we're not going to have him do that. But he can try to get to Brother Mark without standing on that chair. But we know it's not going to happen until he takes a step off that chair and then walks towards him. It's very interesting. God says, if we draw nigh to him, guess what he does? He takes a step to us. This chair represents our pride. We will never get to God as long as we're on our pride. This is what we need to do. We need to get down off of our pride and say, God, it's not me. And when we get to that point, we say, God, I can't do it. God, I'm going to do it your way. Guess what's going to happen? We can just walk to God, and God's going to walk to us. Thanks, guys. You can have a seat. I want us to understand something this morning. I know that was cutesy, whatever, but understand the principle behind it, okay? You will never get to God as long as you're on your pride. Never, never, never. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Amen.
In your life, what have you said? No, this is my way. Maybe you lived your life your way for 50 years, and you said, no, I'm not changing now. And you'll never get to God. And despite the fact that there was it was a bad circumstance, the problem had benefits. It caused them to get back to God's word. It caused them to understand that I need to rely on God. But the story, the third phase and final, is it has a powerful outcome. The third phase of the story has a powerful outcome. Verse number 7 of Deuteronomy chapter 8 says this, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey." I'm sure the children of Israel, man, they were probably stoked doing backflips when they heard all that. Verse number 9, "A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness." You mean we don't have to wait on you guys to get manna every morning? We can eat whenever we want. "Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." This story has a beautiful outcome. It has such a powerful outcome. Notice letter A, God's grace overcame their sin. God's grace overcame their sin. Sin is something that obviously separates us from God. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Grace could be said is God's unmerited favor. Notice what happened here. These people in Numbers chapter 12, they said, God, we're not going forward. God, we're not doing it your way. God, we're doing it our way. God brought them into the wilderness for 40 years, but God said, guess what? I'm going to let the next generation go on in. Yes, you messed up. Yes, you did it your way, but guess what? God said, I'm going to give them a second chance to come back in. And God's grace overcame their sin. God allowed them to go to a place of wealth, a place of comfort, not because of their goodness, but because of who God is. And let me stop for a second and say this. It doesn't matter how bad you are. It doesn't matter how many skeletons you have in your closet. It doesn't matter how wicked you think that you are and how bad you think you are. God's grace covers it all.
Amen.
And God still loves you no matter what you do, no matter what you don't do. God loves everybody. And don't let the devil say, you've gone too far. You've gone down the bad path. Those secrets, you're not going to be able to overcome those. No, that's the devil. God's grace overcomes it all. The Bible talks about grace in the book of Romans chapter 5, by whom we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans 5:20. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Your sin is grievous. Your sin is terrible. Your sin is wrong. But guess what? And by the way, we're not afraid to use the word sin here because that's something we all do. It's a Bible word. We all sin. But guess what? God's grace is greater than that. God's grace overcomes it all. Notice letter B, God's people return to him. What's the beautiful picture that, yes, they messed up. Yes, they went away from God. Yes, they did things their way. But God said, it's okay. I'm still going to allow the next generation to march in the promised land. And Joshua tells the beautiful story of that. Can I introduce you to Joshua? Can we meet Joshua? My name is Joshua. I remember Moses, our great leader. He chose me and 11 other men to spy out this land he called Canaan. I thought I'd heard it before, but this whole Canaan, I didn't know what to do. He told me to go there for 40 days. I was so excited. I was with my friend Caleb and 10 other men, and we were all excited, but then something happened. We got there. It was awesome. It was amazing. There were grapes that were huge. There was plenty of food. There was everything we needed. My family, it was everything that God wanted for us. I couldn't wait to go there. I couldn't wait for the 40 days to end so I could go back and tell Moses and all my brothers and sisters and all the children of Israel what I had seen. Caleb was with me. We were so excited. But what happened next, I couldn't imagine. We got back to give our report. But the other men, the 10 men, they told him that we can't go forward. They told him that the giants were too big. They told him that we couldn't overcome it. And the people listened. The people actually listened. And God said, you have to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. That was 40 years ago. The thoughts in my mind, they ring back so strong. It's like it was yesterday. I can picture all the people saying, we're not going to come. But on this day, God has told us. We have been punished for 40 years. But now it's time. And God is giving us a second chance. God is allowing us to go into that place that we should have done 40 years ago. But now God's letting us go. And this time there's nothing stopping us. God's grace allowed us to overcome our past and go to where He wants us to go. My name is Joshua. I'm so excited. Some of you are like the children of Israel. You've been wondering. You've been away. You've made some mistakes. You've had some circumstances in your life that are self-made. And you've wondered. And God's grace is saying, look, yes, you've had some mistakes. Yes, you haven't done everything right, but guess what? It's okay. Come on back. Come on back. Come on back. Come on back. And let's go to the place that I have for you. If God were to cut your heart and open it up, I wonder what would He see? Would He see people that are trying to move forward? Or would He see some folks that are stuck in the past? Let me remind you, all things are passed away and all things are become new. Amen. Your present circumstances, my friend, may not be very good. Your present circumstances might be terrible. But let me remind you that your problem has some benefits. The problem that you think is so terrible has some benefits. There can be a powerful outcome to the story of your present day circumstances if you will humble yourself, learn to get back to the Word of God and say, God, you know what? It's your grace. It's nothing about me. It's nothing I can do. But God, just trusting in your unmerited favor. God, forgive me for my past. God, forgive me for the things that I've messed up in. But God, I want to move forward for you. And you know what God says? Check this out. God casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. How cool is that? But we have to come to a point where we say, God, it's not my way. It's your way. Amen. Our Father in heaven,